Welcome, everyone. Welcome back to Inside the Nuha. Inside the Nuha is presented by Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning. For more information on all of their programs, you can go to bodybyboyle.com. And coaching spotlight here, falling on the head coach at Post in his first season, Brandon Brown. Brandon, we welcome you in. And I'm always intrigued by the coaching track that guys take and women take in the profession to get to certain positions along the way. And for you, at a, dare I say, at a very young age of just 29, the opportunity to take over the program this year. And I assume there's an educational process involved that that you have been navigating your way through.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Definitely, yeah. Is it something that I thought I have at this point of my career so far? Maybe not. But you know, when opportunity comes knocking, it's get in or jump off, right? So we're in it. We're in it full steam ahead here, and obviously the learning curve is something that I've been working through, and I think our staff here has done a really good job of helping me along.
And you were part of the staff there, truth be told, over the last few seasons, and as an assistant working with the goaltenders and as an assistant with the previous two administrations, actually, with most recently with Pat Bingham. I'm sure that familiarity going all the way back to your time as a player has come in handy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously from the being a student here and having so much familiarity with the campus and administration and things like that, that's been super helpful in terms of just, you know, there's not a whole lot of learning process of new administration and kind of how things run on the day-to-day basis there. And then the familiarity with the players coming in was huge. I think being an assistant, obviously dealing mostly with the goaltenders in my previous role has been super beneficial for us here.
It amazes me around college hockey, the men's and women's side, how many coaches, I'm not sure, I don't have the percentages right in front of me now with the numbers, but how many coaches seem to work their way back, if you will, sometimes work their way back after a significant period of time elsewhere and coming up through the ranks to their alma mater and to an opportunity to coach at the school that they played for. And I just think it kind of gives a little bit even more of an intangible, a little bit more of a jump in the step. And I'm sure you're feeling that now. The fact that you have a head coaching job at 29 is certainly significant. But the fact that you have it on familiar territory, I think that's a little bit of an intangible, I think, that kind of takes it up a notch.
Yes, and super special. And it's something I don't take lightly. I'm super passionate about this university and our hockey programs here, being a player, an assistant on the men's side under Tim Richter, who's still here. He's been super helpful, and we get along really well, and we still kind of bounce ideas off each other. And but yeah, just being here at my alma mater is super special, something I don't take for granted.
That's right. You also worked with Coach Richter on his staff, I believe.
I did, yeah. So as a player, my last year, our head coach, Pete Withy, retired. Tim Richter took over and got onto his staff right away. I spent three seasons under him, and it was great. He's someone that I really look up to, and someone that's kind of showed me the ropes in terms of, you know, the other side of the game, the X's and O's, the coaching, the philosophies, and things like that. Where you know, I really look at him as a really close friend, and he's done a really good job helping me along the way.
It's sometimes less likely to see guys from the goaltending position in the coaching ranks, but there are some examples and significant examples. Is that something that you always aspired to as far as playing the game and playing through in college? Was this something where you said, hey, I love the game, I have the passion and the fire in the belly for the game enough that I'd really like to make this my life's work, knowing that there was going to be some sacrifices involved and some dues to be paid, as it is in the coaching profession for all guys at all levels?
Yeah, I think so. I knew from a pretty young age I wanted to be involved in hockey as long as I could. First of all, as a player, I mean, you're young and you have all these hopes and dreams and things like that. And then as you get older, you're like, okay, let's reevaluate here, and how can hockey still be a part of my game, my life, and lucky for me, it happened right out of school. You know, you go to school and you're trying to figure out what you want to do for the rest of your life, and I knew that I wanted to be a part of hockey in some sort of capacity, and the opportunity came to join as an assistant, and I jumped on it, and it's kind of led me to where I am now. I think being a goalie, I don't know if it played too much into it in terms of you know, the career and things like that. I'm a hockey junkie, right? I love everything about it. I was a hockey nerd from the young as I can remember. Not just about the goaltending position, but just hockey in general, and you know how the game's played and looked at, and things like that. So, yeah, it's been good.
And I noticed your hometown also, as I was getting ready to talk to you here today, South Carolina. What is it, Hanrahan, South Carolina? I guess once again, that's one of the things that I've seen during my rather long tenure covering college hockey is one of the myths that has been dispelled. We used to talk about traditional and non-traditional hockey areas, and that has really been something that's been a wall that's been knocked down. And I guess case in point, how did you develop your love for the game growing up in South Carolina?
Yeah, Hanahan, pretty small town. We're just outside of Charleston there. So my mom's from Pittsburgh, so she kind of had, you know, skating background. Not anything crazy, just, you know, local rinks and stuff like that. My dad's from South Carolina, so definitely a learning curve on his part of the game. But yeah, it was kind of one of those things where, you know, went to the rink one day, just casually skating, saw some hockey players, my brother and I did, and just something we wanted to try. I was 5, my brother was 3, and took to the ice, and we kind of took off from there. I don't think there was really anything holding us back after that.
No, indeed. And then with the goaltending position, and did you gravitate more towards a lot of guys, they play for a time, they may play as a skater, they might be a forward, they might be a defenseman before they settle in. Was that the case for you, or did you say, well, or some kids are totally enamored with everything about the position and want to play the position early on?
I think it was the gear for me. I really enjoyed the gear and the cool mask and things like that. And my mom, I love telling this story, my mom wouldn't let me play goalie till I turned 7. So I started playing at 5, I skated out, and, you know, I think my parents thought it was one of those things, you know, where he'll forget about it and it'll go on the back burner and he'll enjoy scoring goals and all that. My 7th birthday comes around, I ask for goalie pads.
There you go.
So I think my parents were a little upset about that when they saw all the price tags that came along with it, but they weren't going to tell me no at that point if it was something I really wanted to try, and yeah, it kind of stuck.
Indeed it did. Settled in at the position. Well, probably a good place to start talking about the current configuration of your team is in goal. You got a good one with Hannah Saunders, who's had the bulk of the action starting in 24 of the 25 games that she's played in. 2.54 goals against and a very solid .923 save percentage. Couple of shutouts, instrumental in starting games and keeping, making sure you're keeping in games and staying in the game.
Yeah, I think that's something that Saunders gives us, is just a chance to win every night, right? Knowing that we have her back there, and when we have a couple breakdowns, we know she's there and going to bail us out. Truth be told, we have a great goaltending room. I think all three of our goalies have done a really great job this year of one, pushing each other, but also making sure that they're each other's biggest fan when they're in the net. So Saunders, you can't say enough good things about Hannah Saunders, though, just from the what she provides, obviously, on the ice, but she's also one of our biggest leaders off the ice. She wears a C for us, and she's just someone that provides a whole lot of stability for us, especially on the back end.
And up front, you've got some scoring threats there. The profile that we're going to do on the player side with my co-host, Caitlin Beal, I believe is going to be Maddie Noonan. Just to give us a little insight about her, she's got 12 points this year. Emma Hone with 16, and you got a couple of others there. Well, another forward also with Jody Rose with 10. So you got some distribution there on the front line in terms of having some scoring threats.
Yeah, I think it's been coming on a little bit, as of late, after we got back from Christmas break, it's been coming on a little bit more and more. Just trying to put people in positions to create more offense and more scoring chances and things like that. Obviously, Noonan with 12 points, she's done a really great job. She's a really elusive player. super creative, skilled, can shoot the puck, is in the right spots at the right times. Same can kind of go for Joey Rose, someone that I think has been consistently one of our best players in terms of creating offense and being around the puck. It just kind of seems to find her, obviously. And then on the back end, Emma Hayne coming on from Lindenwood here. It's been a huge help on the back end, creating offense from the back end. I think the same can go for a player like Karis Kale, who's maybe hasn't seen the pucks go in for her as much, but she does a great job creating offense and putting herself in positions to put the puck to the net.
You mentioned also that you've got great contributions, just a couple that are right there on the top of the score sheet from the defensive end. And overall, always a challenge in college hockey, men's side, women's side, it matters not to bring young defensemen along. And you do have that situation currently where you're working in some young members of the D-Core right now that have come in as first-year players.
Yeah, we're asking a lot of our young players right now, especially on the back end. Three that stick out, obviously, Tallulah Cameron, who's been doing a great job getting more consistent. Same can be said about Callie Peterson and Lily Zoner, who's had a little bit of success putting up points. But yeah, we're asking a lot from our young players. I think our veteran players have done a really great job of stringing those players along. And you know, when it's, you know, maybe not going for them in the right ways, they're there to kind of clean it up a little bit and string them along and say, hey, it's okay to make mistakes and finding ways to get better from them. I think is something that our group's done a really good job of.
And again, familiarity with Brandon, you've been able to step up from within with the players, I'm sure has been vital for you, knowing something about them, I would assume, all the way back to the recruiting process in terms of having some familiarity with the players that are on your current team.
Yeah, definitely. I've known some of these girls for a number of years now, and it's been good, obviously, with different coaching staffs coming in and philosophies and, you know, systems and things like that. There's a whole bunch of different things that kind of go into it. So I think the biggest thing for me when I came in is just, hey, this is how we want to play. This is the structure we want to play. And it's just kind of letting them run with that. I think when you have a whole bunch of different voices, like some of these players have had over, their careers here at Post, it's been a whole bunch of different voices and things like that. So I think for me coming in here is providing a steady voice and a steady system of kind of how we want to play, and this is how we're going to do it, which I think has been super important. But it also has helped me from the coaching perspective, knowing these players coming in and how they play and, you know, how we can get the most out of them in terms of our systems and things like that.
Recruiting-wise, you got a pretty heavy Canadian presence, and province of Ontario has been looks like it's been a pretty good line of communication for the program to get the message out. That's something you see continuing here in the future as far as recruiting policy.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, we're looking for best players available, right, that are going to be able to come in here and help take our program to the next level, help us win games and get, you know, to the point where we're competing on a more consistent basis at the top of the standings. That's our goal. That's where we want to be. And so, yeah, if that pipeline's through Ontario, that's great. If it's through prep school, that's also good too, right? We're looking for best players that are going to be able to come in here and really buy into kind of what we're doing and helping our program take the next step.
Next step for you this weekend is going to be to face Stonehill, a team that you saw way back in the final week before the Thanksgiving break. A couple of hard-fought games with them. You dropped a 3-0 decision after winning 3-2 on the road. You'll get them at home this weekend. Your thoughts on Stonehill and taking a look at those new high standings?
Yeah, I think this is a huge weekend for us. Very important points coming down the stretch here. Obviously, starting our last segment here of our last four games, being at home is going to be really nice. Obviously, we saw Stonehill a little bit back, and you know, we've done our homework and things like that. Obviously, Lee J over there has done a great job with that program. We know they're going to be ready. They're going to be prepared to play. So that makes us, you know, have even another level to make sure that we're just as prepared and we're ready to play. And we've been doing a good job of finding consistency in our game, especially over this past weekend at Sacred Heart. We might not have got the final results that we wanted in terms of in the win column, a couple overtime losses here, but I thought our group has been responding the right way. I thought we've been doing a lot of really good things, and we're looking to build on the consistency of that.
Mentioned last weekend, not the results you wanted, but just from going a little deeper into the weekend, a lot of positives. You did check a lot of boxes there. The PK was a perfect. You went 7 for 7. You were able to get 48 shots on net in the 3-2 game. You successfully killed a 5-on-3 to get back in that game with a couple of goals in the third period. So I think probably a lot that you could point to get ready for this week in terms of some positives to your team to keep them upbeat going into a big weekend.
Yeah, I think it's huge for our group. I think the message has been just continue to kind of do what we've been doing and building on that consistency. I think we've credit to our girls. They've done a great job of, you know, responding. And I think the weekend that we saw against Sacred Heart, where, like you said, we were down in on Friday night, battled back to get a point and get it to overtime. And then on Saturday, we did a whole lot of really good things. Just couldn't find a way to, you know, put the puck in the back of the net, which is something that we've struggled with a little bit, and stuff that we've been kind of working on here to create more opportunities for ourselves to extend in zone, ozone time, excuse me, and just putting pucks into good situations for us, right? Whether that's net front plays, whether that's moving it low to high, our D have done a great job of getting pucks through as of late. So done a whole lot of good things. We're looking to build on that this weekend.
And you got a couple of teams within striking distance who look to make a move in the standings here in the new high race.
For sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're kind of just focused on us, and we're not really looking at the standings board too much. We're just worried about 3 points on Friday night.
Brandon, thanks very much. Great to make your acquaintance here, and best of luck to you and the post program as you go to this weekend and down the stretch toward the new high postseason. Brandon Brown, head coach at Post, in our coaching profile this week on Inside the Newha. Inside the Newha is presented by Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning. For information on all their programs, go to the website at bodybyboyle.com.
Welcome back to Inside the Newha, presented by Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning, voted one of the best gyms in the country by Women's Health Magazine. For information on all their programs, go to bodybyboyle.com. I'm Caitlin Beal, joined today by Post University senior forward Maddie Noonan. Welcome to Inside the Newha. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, of course. Excited to get started. But first, let's do some fast facts about yourself. So just kind of like the first thing that comes to mind. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any hockey superstitions?
Actually, no superstition is my superstition. I just do whatever I feel is right on that day.
Okay, that's probably good. It makes things a little less stressful before.
For sure it does.
Now, cats or dogs?
Dogs, but recently I've really been loving cats.
Oh, do you have any any pets yourself?
I do not, but I used to have a dog and 6 bunnies.
Oh, okay. I've never met anyone with bunnies before, actually. Do you have a pregame meal?
I always eat tacos the night before, and then the morning of, kind of like a light snack, some yogurt, peanut butter, bread.
Nice. Do you have any hype songs?
The How to Train Your Dragon soundtrack, the instrumental version.
Wait, I love that. Do you have a favorite song on the soundtrack?
It has to be Test Drive or Romantic Flight. It just fires me up. I don't know why, but it does.
No, those are both really good. Those are kind of like my study songs, but I could see how they could be exhausting.
Yeah.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Do you have a specific order?
I get a small caramel swirl iced coffee with 2 cream from Dunkin'.
Okay, nice. Because you're from Canada. So do you have Dunkin' in Canada or?
We have Tim Hortons.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Do you get the same thing at Tim Hortons?
Actually, I've only started drinking coffee since I got to America. I started last year.
Okay, so you've never actually had their coffee?
Habit. So I was trying not to get into it, but I'm in it now.
Yeah, that's fair enough. So speaking of, so you're from Calgary, Alberta, which we were talking a little bit and you said is 40 hours away, and your family will sometimes drive that distance. So what originally brought you out to post in Connecticut?
So I graduated in 2020, which was the COVID year, and I originally was going to play U Sport about 2 hours from my house, but due to COVID, that program folded. So I actually went to Sweden for 2 years after that because it was like a little bit less like strict on regulations there, and I got to have 2 full seasons. And then doing that, I was also able to reach out to coaches more in the NCAA because I figured if I'm going to be in Sweden for 2 years, I might as well work my hardest and see if I can get an opportunity in the States. So I started reaching out to schools and I really liked the New England area. We have family over here in like Rhode Island and Boston. So I really wanted to like figure out if I could get closer to there. So I reached out to one of the previous coaches before, but I didn't really hear back from them. But then a month before school started, my old coach, Gretchen Silverman, she reached out to me. And she was like, I'd love to give you a shot. Like, please come to post. And I was so excited. I was like, okay. So I went just a month before school started and committed. And I had no idea what the campus was like or what like the environment was or anything. And I was so pleasantly surprised and shocked. Post is like, I could not imagine my college experience being anything else other than post.
What is one of your favorite things about Post?
It's really small. It kind of feels like a boarding school in a sense, but you just know everyone. The class sizes are so small that the teachers, they come to all of our games. They're so kind. They just like understand the athlete lifestyle. So it's really nice to like be here with such a small campus.
That's awesome. Now, I feel like we have to talk about Sweden. What was your experience like over there?
It was the best experience of my life. I've told everyone that I've ever known that everyone should try to play in Europe at least once in their life. The people over there are so kind and they're funny. And they're just like the most genuine people ever. And the style of hockey is, it's a little bit different from here in like the States, but you learn so much and you develop and grow in ways that you didn't think you could. I would recommend it to anyone to just even like go and try. It's so much fun.
What area of Sweden were you in?
I was right outside of Stockholm in a town called Södertälje, about 40 minutes out. And it was really like cute and tiny. It was so nice.
Did you learn any Swedish?
That is like a question I get asked quite a bit. I could like make do in a grocery store. I just kind of know how to say like, hey, thank you. But fun fact about Sweden that I just found out is they're the best in the world for their first and second language. So they're like very fluent in English over there, which I thought was like pretty fortunate for me coming over
Yeah,
here.
no, that worked out. So, being so far away from home, did that make the transition to college easier? Were you less homesick?
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm a big homebody. I get pretty sad when I have to say bye to my parents, but I think when I went over to Sweden, I was 17, so it was from like a young age. But then I learned so much about myself independently that I can't imagine not being like independent anymore. So it really did help with that.
Could you see yourself moving to Europe after college?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Something I'm heavily considering. And like all of my best friends are over there now because I made like friends for life. But then I also have friends for life here. So it's kind of a toss up. So,
Yeah. When you're in Sweden, were you able to travel around at all?
oh, yeah, absolutely. Mostly just around Sweden, especially with like the COVID regulations. But I was able to, well, I wasn't actually able to because of COVID, but we were planning trips to go to the Great Britain to visit friends and Spain and all of those. But that is in the near future where I will be going, just not for the hockey piece anymore.
Well, that's good. You'll get to go eventually. Now, you came to post at a little bit older. Did that make the transition any different than usual?
I was a little bit actually hesitant about that being so old, but it was kind of fortunate with my incoming freshman class that I was a part of, is that there are some 2003s. I'm an 02. And one of the girls is only like 2 months apart from me. So we kind of had an older freshman year class. And I just found that in the last 2 years on my team, these have been the years where we actually have had girls who are the real true freshman age. So it's been kind of like funny for that because it just felt so natural to be older. And now I have girls that are 5 years younger than me and they won't let me forget it. They always bring it up. So.
Do you feel like you've really taken on more of a leadership role then?
I would say so, but I also learned so much from them being like so young and carefree and just like happy. They kind of remind you that you can also be kind of carefree and not take things as seriously and still have fun. And that's something I think I sometimes forget. So it's kind of great that the last 2 years, these like young girls were able to help me do that. They inspire me probably more than I inspire them.
Is there anything you guys do, off the ice that is really fun and really brings you together as a team?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Post is just so small that you're always with people. It's pretty fortunate. Like in my dorm room here, just down the hall, we have our two other hockey rooms. So we're all like bunched together. But Waterbury, it's kind of small, but you can find anything to do if you're with the right people. So everything, like there's always something going on. Like I don't know a day where there hasn't been.
Have you guys able, like, have you traveled to New York or Boston or, done day trips?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Me and my friends, we went to New York for the ball drop 1 year, which was pretty fun. Girls go to Boston all the time. We have some girls that work in Boston. I think it's called the USHL, like the hockey league there. They like take photos for them there and get to like go work there, which is like pretty cool that they get to like share that experience for us at Post. Some people drive like 2 hours away to go to like Rhode Island to like visit like the ocean and stuff there. It's just like pretty fun. Everyone like does arrange trips like that.
That's nice because I feel like there's so much to do in New England. You can get, like the ocean, you can get mountains, skiing.
Yeah.
There's so much you can do pretty close to where you are.
Exactly.
Are you much of an outdoors person?
I was in Canada. Being here, I feel like I kind of turned away from it just a little bit, just because I'm always with my friends. And that was kind of my mindset of like, oh, like I'm here for hockey with my friends. But recently in our off seasons, me and my roommates have been trying to be more outdoorsy. So I'm going to say yes, because it's a new thing I'm trying to do.
Well, that's good. I mean, maybe after graduation, when you have a little less on your plate, maybe that can be the time where you really get outside.
Yeah, absolutely.
And speaking of finding balance, you are on the lacrosse team as well.
Yes, I am.
How does that work with the seasons now overlapping a bit?
It's pretty fortunate because our assistant coach, Shelby Page, she's actually the women's lacrosse head coach. So she's like pretty knowledgeable about all of our schedules with hockey. So she's been very understanding and very like kind towards our schedules. So as of like right now, we did not have to do fall ball at all during like the start of the year, just so we could focus on hockey. But now we just have to go to a practice once a week, stay for a little lacrosse lifts, which is right after our hockey lifts, just so we can be part of like the lacrosse team still. So it's actually pretty good. I like how she's doing it. We're transitioning slowly but surely, but it's starting to become part of our schedules.
So when hockey's over, you'll just fully focus on lacrosse then.
Just jump right in.
So how is that ever difficult, like going from a hockey mindset then to a lacrosse mindset, or is it a pretty easy transition?
I would say it's pretty easy just for our team here because we kind of go into lacrosse with having fun because the majority of us haven't had much lacrosse experience. I've played box lacrosse in the summers and I've played box lacrosse my whole life, so it's a little bit different for me, but there are some girls that have never picked up a stick before last season. So them going into it with like that fun mindset, I think just kind of drives the whole experience of they don't have too much expectations on themselves. They're just going to have fun. And it was actually really beautiful to see because last year I couldn't be on the team because I broke my ankle. So they wouldn't let me. But watching from the sidelines, I was like, wow, I really am upset that I'm not out there with them. They just made it look like incredible.
Have you, besides that 1 year, have you been on the team all 4 years?
Nope, this will be my first year.
Okay, so you're excited.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
When was the last time you played lacrosse?
I play lacrosse in the summer, pretty much all the time. Before I went to Sweden, I was in a lacrosse league before I got too old. So I've been playing like pretty much every year of my life since. I think I maybe took like 2 years off when I didn't know that there's a senior league and then found out there's a senior league. So I'm doing that.
Now, growing up, was it more of your time focused on hockey, or what sport was like your main one?
So I actually only switched over to hockey in grade 7, grade 8. I played ringette, I'm not quite sure. Do you know what ringette
No,
is?
what is that?
It's a skating sport. You kind of wear like pants instead of like full pants, like not just hockey pants, but
Okay.
like you're wearing actual pants, and you have a stick, and then there's a ring, like a rubber ring. And then there's like offsides in hockey, but in ringette you have to pass over the blue line to make like that pass. You can't just skate over the blue line. It's a very like different sport, but I made that transition in
Is it
grade
just
10.
in Canada?
I think so. I've kind of heard there might be some in America, like I've asked around, but most people don't know what that is. But the Canadians on my team, there are some girls that also started with ringette, which I think is like pretty funny, but nobody knows what it is when we talk about it. So I started with that, and then I switched over because my sister started playing hockey for ringette, and she said it was like fun, so I had to trust her on that. And I'm so glad I did because I love hockey. But I did like a lot of sports. I was really into swimming and gymnastics, and then box lacrosse with hockey. My parents just tried to make sure I was as active as possible, especially like where I lived, there's just so much opportunity to like try all these different sports, and they never wanted me to like miss out, and they wanted me to find my passion, which I am very grateful for because it led me to hockey, and I'm so glad I stuck with that one.
Wait, that's so interesting you mentioned gymnastics because I feel like, I mean, I grew up as a gymnast. I feel like I've never heard of someone like doing gymnastics and hockey.
Yeah, it's definitely had its challenges. My shoulders are a little bit wonky from the gymnastics era, but I think it also just helped me build like the foundation of like my athleticism for these other sports, which I will be grateful for forever for gymnastics for that, but this wasn't for me.
Yeah, how long did you do gymnastics for?
I did it for about 5 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
This is crazy. I'm like imagining your childhood. You're just like running around to lots of
Yeah.
different things.
Yeah.
Kept very busy. But again, you're keeping very busy now too, lacrosse, hockey, and academics. And I saw you were actually named the Neuha Student Athlete of the Year last season. So what did that honor mean to you?
It meant a lot. I take a lot of pride in my schoolwork, and going to school here, it would be harder to fail than it would be to succeed because there are so many resources available, and the teachers are like amazing. If they like notice you're falling behind, they'll reach out to you, but in like the nicest way possible. They'll be like, "Oh, like, what's up? Like, can I help you with this? Like, can I help you with that?" Like in my freshman year, I had one professor. She was my quantitative methods teacher. But we met like twice a week, and she helped me with all my other homework in my different classes. And she still comes to all of my games, and we still like meet up for these like sessions. Like, I'm like, wow, like, I don't think I would get that anywhere else. So they really do make it hard to fail here. They want you to succeed, they kind of like force you to, but it's so nice and rewarding.
And are you in the business school?
I sure am, yes.
What has that been like? Do you enjoy what you're doing?
I do. I just switched to a finance minor about last year. So I'm taking majority finance courses right now. And it was just so easy to transition into. The business school here is incredible. Everyone is just so knowledgeable, and the connections that they have are like crazy. And in each class, they've had like an alumni come back, like do a Zoom call with us, tell us what's going on. And it just kind of makes you like excited for the future and a little bit less scared that you can see that these people that did graduate from here are having success, and they're having fun with what they're doing, and they love it. So it's pretty great. The post business school is awesome.
That's great. Could you see yourself working like in corporate America or doing finance, those types of things?
I absolutely could. I've been thinking about that a lot. I've always like joked like I'm going to be on Wall Street, but I know like I could get there if I could, especially with like the references and resources I do have available at post. But I really like the idea of Seattle as well. But I also do like back home, so it's kind of a toss-up right now.
Yeah, there's so many different things you can do. It's definitely stressful, like thinking about graduating and where you're
Yeah.
gonna end up. I mean, you could even end up in Sweden. Who knows?
Exactly. Maybe play a couple more years of hockey there.
Yeah, why not? And then you can go on Wall Street afterwards.
Exactly. Well,
And we know you can handle the busy schedule, so. Now, as a member of the hockey team for 4 years, you've had a lot of assists over the years, more so than goals. Would you consider yourself more of a playmaker?
oh, absolutely. I've never really considered myself a goal scorer. I've had other like coaches and especially my parents say, Maddie, like you can be a goal scorer. And I do believe it's like the mindset for that. But it's just when I'm on the ice, I just like my teammates are set up so perfectly that I have to like, I wouldn't have these assists if it weren't for the people that were doing it with me. So I'm very grateful for that.
Has the chemistry clicked really easily between you and the team and your line mates?
Oh, absolutely. I've been very fortunate my whole 4 years of being here. I've always been on a line with two girls that I've just been able to connect with like perfectly like that. We actually just did a little bit of a line switch up in the last 2 weeks. I'm with two new girls and it's still working out great. Like I love both lines that I've been on this year.
It's always great when like you can connect off the ice and then it helps your playing on the ice, and it's just like it makes things easier, especially when you're looking at plays that are unfolding and you can trust who you're passing to.
Exactly.
Now, you guys just had two overtime games against Sacred Heart last weekend. What does that kind of say about the fight of the team playing till the very end?
Oh, yeah. It's like we always have that rivalry of Battle of Connecticut with Sacred Heart, and every game is always such a great game. They're a great competitor. We always get pushed to our limits with them. But I was pretty proud of our team this past weekend. I know the outcome wasn't what we wanted, but especially in that first game coming back from a 2-0 deficit to tie it up, I was like, this is like the moment and feeling that you guys should like be craving and searching for the rest of your years here. Like the ability to know like we were able to come back and we did everything right, everything we learned in practice, everything Coach Brown said to us. So I'm very proud of the girls for these past two games. Even though the outcome wasn't great, there was a win in a sense there.
What are some things from the playing you can take away from that, apply to this next weekend, or anything you might want to change from that?
Just our small details and our small habits. It always starts from our D zone upwards. It can't just be, oh, we need to score goals. We have to figure out how do we get to the offensive zone to create those scoring chances. And I think if we focus on that, especially in those games against Sacred Heart, when we like really hone down on those D zone details, we were able to create so much more offensive chances, especially in our neutral zone, like our breakouts in. So I think if we just take it simple and focus on those small things, a much bigger outcome will happen for us.
Has that been the emphasis in practice this week, those little details in the D zone, the neutral zone?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Coach Brown, he like hounds some of the older players quite a bit of like, if they see you doing it, then they'll follow suit. So it's kind of a good reminder, especially for myself, because sometimes I forget to do the small details as well. So when I get that reminder, I'm like, oh yeah, like, yeah, this is good.
And now these upcoming games versus Stonehill are also your senior night and your family's
Yeah.
coming out. How excited are you?
I'm so excited. My parents, this will probably be like the last time they get to see me play in person in college, which is kind of sad to say, but it makes those games that much more special. And I really appreciate playing Stonehill. They are a very respectful team to like play. It's just a great hockey game every time we play them. There's no like chippiness or anything like that. So I'm really glad that these are the two games we have at home that all our families can come watch.
And your parents are making the 40-hour drive down.
Yes, they sure are.
How long will they stay?
I don't know. Especially with the car, they kind of have a bit more freedom with it. And especially being a senior this year, my class schedule, I only have classes on Tuesdays. So I
Oh,
know
wow.
that they could probably stay a bit longer. So I hope they stay longer. I really hope, but I also know they have stuff to do back home. So we'll see. But hopefully Sunday, Monday. I'm shooting for Wednesday, but maybe.
Is anyone else coming out to support you?
Just my parents. My sisters, they wanted to come watch, but they're a couple years older than me, and I don't think they're quite in the headspace. They just started new jobs, so they gotta stay there. But I feel like I have so many people coming to support me with all my seniors, like parents coming, because I've just grown to know all their families over the years. So I'm like almost equally as excited to see all of their families than I am to see mine, but mine comes first, obviously.
Yeah.
It just feels like I have so many supporters coming.
Yeah, how big is the senior class?
We have, I'm just gonna count it out quickly. Okay, myself, Tristan, Hannah, Riley, Tim Marie, Paige, and Noah. So seven of us.
Okay, that's a pretty decent group, and you've got all their families too, so they're all
Yeah.
there to support you guys.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Do you have any, with it being your last year, do you have any kind of like overarching goals for yourself? Or I don't know, maybe like a senior year bucket list?
Like for hockey?
Or just in general of your last year?
Well, especially for like the hockey side, like the last like games, I just want to have fun. I always play the best when I have fun. And I think especially like when you go into your senior year, you're like, I have to accomplish all of this. I have to set good examples for next year. But I feel like the only way that you can do that is you're so truly authenticated to yourself. So my goal is to have fun so then the underclassmen can see that and like be like, oh, I can also have fun. Because hockey is supposed to be fun. And so is senior year. So my bucket list for senior year is just to not say no as much. Like, lay out, like I can do homework in the evening. I don't have to always be doing homework all day. I can go hang out with this person and that person. And I just want to leave post and not feel like I missed out on anything that happens here.
I love that. Good to just say yes to everything and not have any regrets.
Yes, exactly.
Well, thank you so much to Maddie Noonan for joining us this week on Inside the Newha, presented by Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning, voted one of the best gyms in the country by Women's Health Magazine. For information on all their programs, go to bodybyboyle.com.